it is one of our first time to go to the social or to other communities other than our families. And then you will face acceptance and you will face to deal with people you don't know, and you are trying to fight or you are trying to just create your environment inside this also very strange environment, to get new friends and also to get in touch with different people. Yes, they could be in our age, but they came also from different families and from different backgrounds. At school, you can find people in different stages. Some are very evil, some are very kind, some are friendly, some are not aggressive and something like that. And you're supposed to go through all this alone.
Kleine Pause. Begegnungen in der Teeküche.
So, hi and welcome. Now it's going to be a mix of a little bit of German and English today. It's the second episode that I'm doing in English, so it's relatively new for me.
No problem, yeah.
But we will try. So will this try. Is a Kleine Pause podcast. Actually, it's Encounters in the Tea Kitchen. This is the title underneath the Kleine Pause title. Okay. And I think we can call this an encounter now, even if it's via Zoom.
It is really, I would like to thank you, Nicole, for your interest and about the literature, about my work and about my book and about what you are doing. It's great. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for being here. And I think we will start with you saying who you are a little bit, so our listeners will also know who is sitting in front of me right now.
Okay, I am Stella Gaetano. I am a writer from South Sudan, and I have been all my life in Sudan. I just came to Germany in 2022. I was in a scholarship by Penn Deutschland, Writer in Exile program for 3 years. Now I am here.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah, 3 years is that it is just for by, as Deutsche said. And now I am a refugee, or I seek asylum in Deutschland, and they give me now, try my best to integrate, and I am working also, and everything is fine for me now.
Thank you for sharing that. And I like to, usually in the beginning of the conversations, to make it like a little bit transparent how we got together and why we are sitting here. And this time it's because your book, I have it here next to me.
Oh,
the German title is Edo's Goldenes Lächeln. It just came out in Kiwi and a few months ago, right? Like, I don't have
in May. Yeah.
Yes, and this is how we came together, because I saw the book and I saw that Sudan is a topic that is really, really underrepresented in a lot of discourses, and also in literature here in Germany. I think you don't read a lot, like at least not in mainstream. And I was really excited to hear about it. And then I'm in contact with people from Kiwi, and I said I would love to have you in the podcast to share a little bit about your book and your life as a writer, but also your life as a human rights activist. I say it now, you can talk about like if you're calling yourself an activist or not, because I know that people are very specific on this topic a lot of times.
Yes.
Yeah, this is how we managed to have this podcast date, and I'm really, really happy about it.
Yes.
Since this is a podcast about school, usually, I start with asking people what comes to their mind when they think about school. And maybe in our conversation, we just said it now before we started, it's not that obvious to form this bridge. But I would still ask you what comes to your mind right now. It can be something very present. It can also be something that you refer to from your past, from your life. What is like the first association, the first thought when you hear this question?
Yes, thank you again for having me here. I'm happy to be here. I'm honored. And yes, when I hear the questions about the school, I can say that we are all or majority of us, we are graduated from schools, and how school shapes our personality. Mm-hmm. And I think in my generation, when I'm thinking about school, I can say I was traumatized when I come out from the school to go to the university. And the trauma maybe come from how things, like it is one of our first time to go to the social or to go to the communities, to other communities other than our families. So, and then you will face acceptance and you will face to deal with people you don't know, and you are trying to fight or you are trying to just create your environment inside this also very strange environment, to get new friends and also to get in touch with different people. Yes, they could be in our age, but they came also from different families and from different backgrounds. And at school, you can find people in different states. Some are very evil, some are very kind, some are friendly, some are not aggressive, and something like that. And you're supposed to go through all this alone as a child. I am talking now in my country. As a child, I'm supposed to go through all this alone. And also with teachers, those people, the adult people who I don't know, they are not my parents, but I'm supposed to obey them. To sometimes in my countries, it is also scary because the teacher can harm you in a way, like when you are not doing your duty, maybe you can get some kind of punishment and something like that. And the relationship between students at school and the teachers, students within themselves, it is like a kind of trauma, new environment, and I'm supposed to face it alone and come out somehow with personality at the end of all this. So how we can help and the students also to absorb this experience. Also, I want to say how to link school with the books. Mm-hmm. And because the school books or all these subjects, it is something, but I think literature, philosophy, or these things can also create a shape or create the personality of the kids or the students at the school. But I think the government, they are focusing to create employees to come to like overcome the work or to keep the economy going or something like that. But if we can lose a kind of personality that someone cannot be emotional intelligence or cannot be social intelligence, so how we can have the quality of a human being, not the quality of employee.
Yeah, this already has so many layers that I'm immediately thinking about, because what you're mentioning is already also power dynamics, like inside of schools and with different groups that you may be confronted with in schools, that somehow, of course, also representing or mirroring the power dynamics outside of school as a small society inside the society, and somehow, which can be very difficult, of course, and also especially if you are facing, like if you belong to a marginalized group, or if there's conflict in between groups, or something like that, of course, which is one thing that's, I think, of course, in a country with a lot of crisis or even war or an unstable situation, it's even more. But in general, it's always there. It's just making it even more complicated or even violent, like depending of the situation of the country, of course.
Yes, of course. And like if a mass of people like migrate or displaced to go, and a kid from different regions, for example, in Sudan, and go to school to another in another region, and then the class, they are different in their features, different in their languages, and nobody like make you ready to be there. And also the other kids are not ready to deal with someone different. Mm-hmm. And from here, the trauma become, because if you see they all like the same, they have a language, they have certain features, and I am different. And like there is also some people, some children can be very evil also, like can bullying them or can make a laughing about them. So from here you can always be, maybe you can have this kind of things that you are not accepting yourself. You can say maybe I'm different. You cannot say I'm different, but you can say I'm ugly, I'm not like them. And so from here it's become this, the self-acceptance. It's like a wound in this time.
Yeah, totally. And the second layer that I thought about immediately when you were talking is the question of what is actually the function of a school inside the state. This is, I think for a lot of people, it's something that you don't think about too much, because most of the time, even in, if, of course, this is not the same everywhere around the world, but for a lot of people, school is just something that it's there. It's like part of a state. It's something normal. It's a system. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I don't think that too many people, like, why would they, especially if the situation is okay-ish, let's say, carefully, are not thinking, what actually is the function of schools besides qualifying, let's say, like you said the word employees,
labor.
And you can see it like in a more, I don't know, let's say in this perspective from Germany that I grew up with, is like for your own education, it's to find your position in life, in this world, to learn stuff. But I didn't think when I was younger, I didn't think like, wait, schools are also there to, for example, reproduce in some way the status quo of a society, or reproduce the values of a society. That's not something I was reflecting on when I was like 10, there I thought, okay, I'm here to learn math, or I'm here to learn, I don't know, whatever you're learning in school. So this is like another layer of it that you already mentioned, that especially when it comes to these hierarchies, when it comes to crisis, when it comes to also violent and dangerous situations, maybe schools can play a certain role in that.
Yes. And it school also can marginalize you.
Yeah, of course.
And for example, in Sudan, before the secession to Sudans, in Sudan, if we come to the gymnasium, we have 4 subjects we suppose to succeed on them to go to university.
Mm-hmm.
If not, if I fail, I supposed to repeat the year. And those subjects are the religion, if it is Christianity or Islam, and math, Arabic, and the first one, I think, like Arabic, for example. And in Sudan, like people from South Sudan, Arabic, it is not the first language or the mother tongue of people. So many, many of students from the African group, or if they have their own languages, they are suffering with Arabic, you know? So when they come to the gymnasium and they supposed to succeed Arabic, they are suffering. And most of them couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find few people from these areas can get to the university.
Mm-hmm.
But the other people from the areas that knows better Arabic, they have great chance to go to the university. And you can see how it can play a role even in development of some areas. And most of people or most of pupils, they can leave the school because there are challenges with this issue. So you can find some can get to the university, can be doctors or can be engineers or can be, and the other who are dropped out from the school, because this is one of the reasons, of course, it is not the all, this is one of the reasons, and can also have, can be in the, at the bottom of the hierarchy of everything. And this is can also make this, you can find it is unbalanced in the community or in the society, and they didn't want to change that. There is no any policy to change that. This is the country and you're supposed to do that. And from here, it's become like when I supposed to go to the university, I supposed to learn Arabic very toughly. And from here, I can go forward and be there and be, you know, to do the other things.
Yes. Of course, I prepared a little bit for our conversation. And I actually wrote down a question to ask you about writing in Arabic, also coming from the south of the south of Sudan. So maybe this is a good moment to also start talking about your writing.
Yeah.
And of course, you can connect it a little bit to your story. I think every listener can understand that in our conversation now, or also this is not your job to explain like the whole situation
of
Sudan, but still I think we need a little bit of context from your story to dive more into also the stories of your characters and how you built your book. So maybe we will start with like, why is it even, maybe it's a good starting point to ask you, like, why is it even a question? Like, are you writing in Arabic because of what you just told me? Or is it something that you decided for a specific reason? So maybe we can start with this to move to move to the content of your book.
Yeah, thank you also for these questions. Writing in Arabic, sometimes it is strange for many people. And somehow also like they like make me think about it. Why I am writing in Arabic, while there is Sudanese writer writing in English and nobody asking them also. And I don't know, it is like you are all the time being risk, because my appearance, like an African woman writing in Arabic, it is stranger. But if I am writing in English or in French, it is normal. So it is some kind of questions. And I think because people just need simple things or to simplify this, a person, we are not simple. We are not simple at all. And there is all the time layers of personality, layers of identities. Someone can have it. And then my story is I am the daughter from parents, come originally from South Sudan, and they displaced very earlier to the north part of Sudan because South Sudan is not stable. And then me and my siblings, we are like get birth all in the north part of Sudan. We get to school there, and all the schools in Sudan also it is in Arabic, and that's how. And at home we have our African language is Otuho. We are talking with the family Otuho, and then when we are going outside, we are talking Arabic or Sudan dialect Arabic. And at school and the books we are like reading are all in the classic Arabic. And that's why it is many layers of the languages. Mm-hmm. One like me can go through it through his daily or her daily life. And it is like you can open the door and go to the other languages from door to door. And we can switch that in our mind. And I think it is kind of also, you can say the intelligence of the immigrant children. And I think it is not just in Sudan, and it is universal. Because many children now, because this massive of migration, many children now can go through this the same experience. Maybe at home they can speak Arabic or Turkish or Kurdish. Outside they can speak German, and so they have this capability always to go through languages easily. Hope I answer your question.
Yeah, of course. And I am already thinking that it's so interesting that a lot of topics that are specific topics maybe for Sudan also in your book, or specific realities, can still translate to a lot of other realities for people from like different regions.
Yes.
So doesn't matter if we are talking about school or if we are talking about switching languages or switching codes or being able to, and who isn't and who is and why and what's with which kind of stories it is connected. Many readers or like people in general in Europe encounter Sudan primarily through like wars, through conflict, through news in somehow, and maybe not through literature. And what you're doing in your novel or in your writing is showing like a broader and maybe also more like an intimate perspective, like through your characters. And you are maybe also, I mean, it's 3 years, okay, it's not just the last 2 months or something, but somehow you were probably confronted with like the view that people in Germany have on Sudan and the view that you have or that your characters have in your writings. Can you talk a little bit about these two things, like how Sudan is most of the time encountered or seen and what you maybe also want to bring with your books that can maybe be the same but also different?
Yes, the Sudanese news and Sudanese literature, or Sudanese news and Sudan as life, environment, people, and the cultural aspect of Sudan. We all know that news are selective, and they focus on this daily news to keep people like interested about the theme that they are talking about, or things. And it is quick, and also this kind of repeating some word during reading news, and it's can do some kind of like someone want to plant a picture or an image in your mindset, in your unconscious also mind. So because this repetition is can give anyone an image that he can't see any other things like that, because the whole day this news come like tens of times with repeated the same voice, the same words about the war, the violence, the conflicts, and all things, and they ignore totally that Sudan is a country rich of diversity, rich of people. And also, if someone asks why this conflict, even nobody can ask. It is a war in Africa. People are always like killing themselves. So let them, what we can do for them. But what the root causes of this conflict and who is feeding this conflict, nobody wants to ask himself. And I think literature can help people to understand this deeply, and also can provide some kind of some people can get in touch with people in Sudan through empathy, because they understand more, and they now have like a kind of relationship with characters in different literatures. So, and I think literature can also like fill this gap between what the news said, which is really very harsh and like make people detach from the area, and also what literature can bring people together and make people rethink about what's behind this conflict.
Also, there's a little bit of a paradox, I think, because especially if we are looking at Sudan, it's often called an invisible war from a Western perspective or a German perspective. It's not something that you see in the news every day. And as a human rights activist or an activist that's also speaking out politically about this, isn't it sometimes for you also conflicting that, and on the one hand, you want to, as you just described, through your literature, through your writing, to be capable of painting this broader picture, to connect to your characters, to show that there's more perspectives than just this war perspective. And on the other hand, you are now in a country which is maybe not talking enough about this situation.
I think because also the war in Sudan is come in the middle of many wars, many mm-hmm. other wars. And the other wars, I think it's more important than what's happening in Sudan. And I am not agree with invisible war or ignored mm-hmm. war in Sudan, because people knows what is going on in Sudan. They just don't want to involve. And because they are busy with other wars, which is very important for them economically or politically or something like that, what is happening in Sudan, it is not like harming anyone. And I think this is the reason why Sudan is not there often in some medias. And yes, it's unfortunate, but also because people are overwhelmed by many negative news and why this kind of news supposed to be in the media in Germany. And people even didn't know where Sudan is. And so it is kind of a decision to make. And yeah, and I think the world is just going like that. We can't change it. But I was really very lucky because during the Sudan war, my first book was out, The Endlose Tagam Point Zero. And this book was like a resource for information.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had many readings around, and people get interested about Sudan through my short stories.
Mm-hmm.
And even in this book, I was talking about other war. It is not about this war, but the consequences is the same. And then people get the audience who are there, they get to discuss with me deeply about Sudan, and they want to know and what is going on. And I think this is one of the messages that literature can send, because yes, it is literature, but beneath it, it is also a politic.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I am not, I think as writers, we cannot be a politician people or like act like a politician people, but we need to be politically aware about what is going on. So, yeah.
Yeah. So let's dive a little bit into your book and talk about your characters. You are following different characters there, and also we hear the stories. I say stories because it's more than one story, I would say.
Yeah.
Through their lenses. In the beginning, we are starting with a narrator which is a little bit closer to one character, and later it's like unfolding the different characters. You want to talk a little bit about the process, how you decided which characters will be part of the story, and how you decided to change their perspectives? Because I think it's very interesting that we also have, for example, very strong female characters with a very strong feminist voice, but there's also men that are talking.
Yeah.
That's a decision.
Yeah. Yes, when I start this book, I started in 2015-16, and I wrote this, the narrative part, the first three chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stopped writing. I started it in, I don't know when. Yes, it is when South Sudan and Sudan get separated. I start this, and then it's getting very tough for us in Sudan, because we're supposed to go and we're supposed to like reset our situations, because we became a foreigner. We supposed to go all back to South Sudan. So it was a matter of survival mood. So I stopped writing, and then I started again in 2016. And I continue till it's out in 2018. So the first three chapters, I wrote it at that time. And then when I come again to write, so I decide, like, I felt that, like, the character said, we need to tell our own story. Please, we will use you just to write it. So, like, when I, like, just surrendered to do that, I feel it was really more flexible. It is not tense. It is not like, I don't feel like I am holding a burden of something. It was really very easy to just get flow with the characters, people, and the characters' differences, even in ideas, in their class, in their educations, and how this book can join someone like Lucy and someone like Jala, who is really very elite and a lawyer, and Lucy, very natural believer or something like that. Those two people, and it is like contradiction between different women in the same page. And one like Peter, who is really very masculine man, and his friend Marco, who is somehow not like he have some kind of femininity also in his character. And it is like that. And also the dialogue between South Sudan and North Sudan, this relationship, and like a character like Peter, who is a South Sudanese, raised up with a family from the North part, while there is a huge conflict between South and North and how they are seeing each other. And it's like space to bring all these contradictions in Sudan, in people, in everything, in one book. And people is still there. They are families. They create their own set of norms to be together, to support each other, and somehow to just ignore what is going on politically. And
Yeah, ignore and not ignore at the same time.
At the same time. Be aware about that. But like they say, yes, this is really horrific what is going on, but we are not going to make it, to allow it to sabotage our life or our relationship. Or, yeah, we choose to be a family. We choose to be there for each other, whatever is what is going on. And also this conflict can come inside their relationship and can also make kind of tension between them.
Yeah. Yeah, and it has a lot of dimensions through this. Like you already mentioned, like North-South, gender, topics, class topics through this. And you also see like the interconnection in between these different kind of dimensions, that sometimes it's connected, like class and gender can be connected, for example, but also other things can be connected, and it's becoming like this big dimensional story through this, which I think it's very interesting. And it's always something that allows you, what you said in the beginning, to have this very specific view of a very specific context, but also make it something that it's in general a human experience. It doesn't matter where.
Yes, it is a human experience. And I think one of my colleagues, she read this novel, and she said, I don't know, whenever I read this book, I didn't think these people are black. She said the character from in her mind, they are white people. But I think it is really very interesting. And I told her, but she like feel guilt because she said she can't like imagine those people are black for her, she imagined that. And I said, maybe, because it is not a story for Black people. It is the human being stories. Mm. It happened in Sudan, in South Sudan, but it can be also valid somewhere else. And
maybe. Yeah, I think I can relate to that. And because I also thought about it while I was reading. And for me, one of the answers to this was also that this is part of colonialism also, because by the names, you differentiate as a reader. Yes. Yeah. In between the people. So yes. if there yes. is like European names, you immediately create a different picture yeah. in your yeah. head. And this yeah. is how, like, this is part of what colonialism also brings to the situation or yes. brought. Yeah.
Yeah. And bring to the situation and also, yeah, like manipulate the imagination of some people, because like me personally, I was invited to one of the, I don't know, conferences, and I was dealing in emails with a lady. And then at the some point when I said I'm from South Sudan, and said, she asked me, and why you are very Italian? Because mm-hmm. my name is Stella Gaetano, it is totally Italian name. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to read. And this book also, I talk about this, how the missionaries, how the colonialism changed identity of African people. Like, give them a religion and then set your name if you need to be a part of this religion, is supposed to change your name or have another name. And so it is like people who are inside Sudan, like we know immediately who is from South and who is from North, because majority of South Sudanese people, they have European names and or African names, yeah. And majority of people from North Sudan, they have Arab names. And so, and sometimes in the family, like in my family, for example, we, the three older one, we have European name, and our sisters who are younger than me have also like Arabic name. So it's like a mix of things. And that's why in the beginning, I said that too, because we are choose to simplify things, and it is not simple. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And adding to this, how is it for you now? Now your book gets attention because now it's translated to German. And you, as you said, you wrote it a while ago. It's almost 10 years or more than 10 years when you started, and till it came out a little bit less than 10 years. So how is it for you that it's translated now, and the situation is of course not exactly the same, but as we already heard, there's a lot of things that you can transfer from back then to already now to get this attention and to speak about it while living in Berlin, while seeking asylum, while writing from exile, which is a different perspective also than being in the place that you're writing about.
Yes, I can say, because since 2018, I just also forget the book, and I forget many details about it. And now, after it's come out in German, I'm supposed to go to the readings. I reread also this novel again, because I forget many of things. And but I was in close also with my translators. First translated to English, and yes, we like go through everything. And secondly, translated to Germany also again. And yes, I was really afraid a little bit. It is scary to. Because as you see, the book, it is very, very about local things in Sudan, intensity of cultural things and also touch kind of taboos and also go through many things. And I think different also, I don't know, because many people, they said it's different kind of writing. And I don't know how it is different, but it is, I wrote it like that. And I think the writer who is like go or forced to be somewhere else or to go. And I think the first thing that he think about that he lose his audience or his readers. For example, my readers are Sudanese, or at least if it is expand, it's in Arab region. And then now there is other readers, and how someone who is not a Sudanese can see the novel or can see this kind of things. But I think it is really very interesting for me because I receive many, many very positive feedback about this book. And some people, maybe here in my city, they also like said that this book make us rethink about things. It is, yes, about Sudan and South Sudan, but they said it is like sometimes we just like rethink about things that we are not before focusing on. And it is like, for me, I love this kind of comments when come from people, because sometimes a writer, he don't want his work to be close or just cover to say it is the story of some people, because our dreams is what we are writing is can relate to all human beings anywhere. So when I receive this kind of compliments or comments, and it's make me like, yes, maybe I did it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're already also nominated for a literature prize that
I'm honored. Really, I'm happy. I'm honored. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw it and I was also really happy about it when I saw it. So.
Yes.
When you're doing readings here, are you reading with someone who is reading the German part, or are you reading in English, or are you reading in Arabic and German?
Yes, I'm just they asked me to read like very small parts in the original language of the writing. So I read very like one paragraph in Arabic, and then someone will read the German version.
Okay. Yeah. I was just interested in that because...
yes, because now I'm still learning the language, but by reading is still, it's a challenging for me.
Yeah, of course. And also it's still like, you know, as we said in the beginning, like language does something to a text, like even if it's a super good and thought through translation, it's always a sensitive topic. And so I was just thinking about how you are dealing with it and what are your thoughts on it? Since like there's so much to talk about, and I just thought maybe we could have also prepared a piece to read, but also I think I recommend anyway people to just read it in German or English or Arabic, however they want it. I would like to go back to school just for the end of the conversation to frame it a little bit to the beginning and talk a little bit of like literature in school, because you mentioned it in the start. And now I thought, like, what would you want if, like, for example, I'm a literature teacher in Germany, and if I would choose now to read your book in my class in Germany, what would come to your mind that you would wish for the students to maybe understand or to talk about when they read your book?
I really don't know if because sometimes they invite me to read in the reading in the school, and then like because my books it's really like adult book it's for adult people because it is very tough sometimes the short story some of short story very tough and yeah but I really don't know what for me. If students want to read my books or a paragraphs of one of my books, I can be referred, they can read more about the culture acts of people inside the book, so they can expand their mind. They can know also there is some people where else they have their beliefs, their lifestyles, and how they are going through their challenges and how they solve it and how they are survived. And I think this is because problems are anywhere, challenges are anywhere, and it is not like just for people who are going through conflict or are poor. But I think from the end of the experience that we can learn how people can survive and how people can get out stronger from what they are going through, and how something very small like forgiveness can change someone. As if you see when Lucy, when Teresa like had abused Lucy, and then Lucy said, "I need Teresa now. She's supposed to come back." And then after this experience, Lucy forgive Teresa. Teresa is totally changed to another person. She become very kind and very close to Lucy, a sister, something like that. And Lucy said, some people just need a forgiveness to be another or to change. Because sometimes we need to change people by force, or like we are shouting, or we are like we are just cut them off from our lives because they did something very harm to us. But in this story, like Lucy, the very natural girl, she said, someone forgiveness can change someone. So, and I think it is not experience for someone from the village outside there in South Sudan. This is a human being experience. Sometimes we didn't forgive people, and then we also like pass the life or like lost the chance to make them change.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. It was also a part that for me really showed again the other dimensions and the complexity also of human relationships. And also over time, of course.
Over time,
yes, and I just saw like when you said that your book is an adult book, because I'm teaching literature, I thought there's so many books which are so-called classics where you never discuss if this is like okay for students or not okay for students. Because like, I don't know, immediately I don't want to make this text smaller now or say you shouldn't read it in school, but I immediately thought about the Kafka. And then I had, you said like, maybe my book is too hard for students. And then I had like all the Kafka books in my, and I thought like, I'm not sure. There's a lot of other books which are very, very hard where you never ask kids.
Yes, because at the my first reading, when I just came like 2 months or 3 months in Germany, my first reading, and I read one of the short stories. And then while someone reading the German text, and I saw the people's faces get very red, and some people start to cry very heavily. And I felt so sorry at that. And I wish I can say I'm really very sorry. I didn't expect that they can just have all this heart to feel about what is going on in that story and be connected and emotional about that story. And that's why I always like think twice about these things, because adults can go through it, can read it, can do it, but I don't want to like create some kind of harm for underage children.
Yeah, and of course there's a difference in time, like when you talk about classics and situations that are still present, of course. But this was just a thought that came to my mind. And also I think that it also does have or might have a connection to which kind of stories and from whom people are agreeing to hear. And this also has something to do with power dynamics and also especially in Germany.
Who is decided.
And by like sometimes in stories they people might say, no, this is too harsh, this we can't do. And other stories are not too harsh, and it has something to do with who wrote it and what's the people's experience and positioning and stuff like this. But this is just like a side note, which I don't want to like be unmentioned in this kind of thinking about what's like legit for school and what's not. So in the end of every episode, you are, or all the guests are asked by me to create a homework for everyone who is listening, which is supposed to be there to, because in every talk we can just like scratch like the surface of topics, you know, like we can't go and say like, okay, let's read your whole book and or let's tell the whole story of Sudan or your story or everything about your work. So the idea is to take something like with you after you listen to the podcast, and maybe something that also activates you to think a little bit more or to do something or to get more involved in something depending on the topic of the talk. So you can now do that too and create a homework for me, but also for everyone who's listening.
Yes. The homework can I can create it from your question, how the news talk about Sudan and what is Sudan actually. And I would like people to go, because Sudan, one is of the African countries, and through Sudan, the Nile is running, the Nile. And yes, and I want to give homework to people to just leave the war or the conflict on side and go to search about Sudan resources, about how big Sudan is, and about the tourism sites in Sudan, what's the beautiful places in Sudan. And the diversity in Sudan, and all these things, and just to leave the politics and the conflict on side and go to visit Sudan land as people, as a land, as culture, and the clothes, the dances, and the different languages that being in Sudan.
Thank you. And I will add to that that a good starting point is to read your book. I would say.
Thank you.
So you don't have to mention it yourself.
Thank you, really. And I would like to thank my translator, Larissa Bander. She is really did very well, because one of the readers here in my city also said he think that because she is also very good translator, because he didn't feel like there is a problem to understand what is going on inside the book. I would really want to send her a flower and say thank you for this great job.
Yes, and thank you for having the time and to present your work. And of course, we can put everything that you want in the show notes, so people can also go there and maybe dive a little bit deeper and start doing the homework that you just created.
Thank you, really. Yeah.
And
we can do that.
And thanks, everyone, for listening to the second English episode. Yay.
Thank you. Thank you, really. I'm happy.